Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Whenever I first started preaching and first started studying and trying to learn what it is to preach the truth of God's Word, I remember the moment when it dawned on me, read the Lord's messages. If you want to learn about preaching, if you want to study preaching, study His preaching. His preaching is perfect. His preaching is everything about it. His words, His delivery, His use of illustrations, which we call parables. It's all perfect. What a treasure that we have in the written messages of the Lord God Almighty. Have we ever really thought about that? We have messages from God in here. What a treasure it is. And we're looking at one of them right now. We have been looking at one of them. We will continue. This is a long message, and we're going verse by verse through it. And this morning, I want to look at three of them. Three verses from this message. And as we look at these, let's remember that these are indeed the words of God Himself. So may He really teach us and convince us of what He's saying right here. I sincerely pray He will teach us and convince us of His Word right here. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 6, verse 22. Our Lord said, "The light of the body is the eye." The eye is how we see. The eye is how we look at and look to. The eye is how we know and understand and perceive. The eye is how we are directed. If we don't have eyes, someone else has to direct us. So verse 22, He said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single..." If the eye sees and looks to and perceives and is directed to one, single, then He said, "Thy whole body shall be full of light." Your whole body will be full of the sun. And we can go ahead and read between the lines spiritually right now if we want to. If your eye is focused on one, then your whole body is going to be full of the light of the sun. S-U-N, spiritually S-O-N. The understanding, the knowledge, the direction that the sun gives. Verse 23, He said, "But if thine eye be evil..." If it's dark, if it's looking at and looking to darkness, if that's all that it knows and understands and perceives and directed to, if that's just darkness, verse 23, He said, "Thy whole body, all of your being, shall be full of darkness." All of it. He said, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, what's He saying in that? Really, why did He say that? And what does He mean in saying that? All right, this is what he means. Verse 24. He means, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's what he means. You cannot serve God and mammon. I wish that I had the ability to believe that and understand that for myself, but I don't. God's going to have to cause me to believe it and understand it. And I wish I could make other people believe that and understand it, but I don't have that ability. Either God's Spirit will do that or He won't. I pray He will. I pray He will cause us to see and understand and believe that you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. What is mammon? Mammon means riches. But the dictionary, when you look it up in the Bible dictionary, the concordance, it says that it means riches in the form of a person other than God. That's what mammon is. Riches in the form of a person other than God. It means any other person, any other man that you esteem and see to be worthy and valuable. And so what is he saying in this? If we get cut to the chase, what's he saying here? He's saying you cannot serve God and man. You cannot. It's one or the other. But it can't be both. It cannot be both. It's light or darkness. It can't be both. Now let me show you something and let me build up to an absolute truth concerning salvation. All right, we're going to start with this. God has made a distinct difference between light and darkness. Very distinct difference. There are so many scriptures. I was looking up scriptures and there's so many of them that show this definite difference. I wrote down just a couple of them, two or three of them. Look with me at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. He put a distinct difference between light and darkness. A very distinct difference. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They all had light. So much darkness it could be felt. They couldn't see each other, couldn't move for 3 days. God made a distinct difference between his people and his enemies. And that difference was light and darkness. Now, light and darkness spiritually represent two different things. All right, turn with me. I'm going to try to not overturn you, okay? But I want you to read a couple of these things with me. Go to 1 John chapter 1. First John, just before Revelation, 1 John chapter 1. All right, spiritually speaking, this is what the Word has to say about light. It says in 1 John 1 verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." None. It's not mixed at all. None. And to understand specifically who we are referring to when we say God is light, we talk about God, and everybody has their own imagination of God. Well, to know specifically who it is, look with me at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God hath shined the light in the face of who he is, Jesus Christ. God has shined the light in his own face. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light. He is the light. Now, the contrast to that spiritually, all right, the opposite of that is this. I'll just let you listen to these. This is Matthew 4, verse 16. It says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." The people sat in darkness, the darkness of death. All right, this is John 3, verse 19. It says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Man naturally does not want the light. He wants and he prefers his darkness. And that's because everything that he is and everything that he does is evil. In John 8, verse 12, the Lord said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." All right, that's what our Lord said. But here's the problem for men and women by nature. They're not satisfied, and they do not want to. And the reason is because their deeds are evil. Because of that, they don't want to, and they can't follow Christ the light. They can't follow him alone. They can't follow him at all. They have to try to work their darkness in somehow. They're not satisfied with the light. They just have to try to work their darkness in somehow. And our Lord said in our text, it is never going to happen. It's not going to happen. You cannot add man's darkness to Christ's light. There is only one master. He said, you can't have two masters. You're going to hold to the one and hate the other one, or you're going to hold to this one and hate the first one. But you can't have two masters. There's only one master in the work of salvation, and it is not man. It is not man. Turn with me to John 13. John 13, verse 13, our Lord said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." When it comes to the light of spiritual life, if we're going to bow down and worship and serve the work of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, then we are going to have to despise and reject the work of man. If we're going to bow down to and worship and serve the work of Christ, then we're going to have to reject, despise and reject the work of man. We're going to have to. And if we're going to bow down to, and if we're going to worship and serve the work of man, then we have to despise and reject the work of Christ. We have to. It is one or the other, but it can't be both. Where mankind is going wrong in religion. And I understand that people hear this and they think, why do you have to be so dogmatic? Why do you have to get up there and just be, why can't you just go with the flow like everybody else? Here's the reason why. God said the flow is not going to work. That's what God said. And men and women need to know this. Everybody, here's where religion is going wrong. Everybody is trying to mix light and darkness. They're trying to mix God's work with man's work. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It cannot be done. And if we love men and women, we will tell them, God says it's not going to work. It can't be done. Salvation is either man's work alone. If it's man's work, it's man's work alone. And according to the Holy Scripture that cannot lie, it's not man's work alone. It's God's grace alone. In Galatians 2, the Apostle Paul said, if man could help God do this, if man had a part in this, Christ died in vain. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And it's of the Lord alone, meaning by Himself. All by Himself, alone. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God has a people. Has He cast them away? Paul said, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Know ye not what the Scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? He said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it's a free gift, then somebody can't work for it to earn it and make a payment. It's not a free gift at that point. In verse 6, he said, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. He said, it's one or the other. But it can't be both. No mixing of the two. Now, let me see if I can illustrate to you what mixing the two sounds like and looks like. Because you wonder, what do you mean by that? You can't mix the two. All right, this is what mixing the two sounds like. We just read right here that God elected a people to save, and He saved them. All right, God elected a people to save, and He saved them. Do you know what light, having light, do you know what light places after that statement? Whenever that statement is made, God elected a people to save, and He saved them. Do you know what having a single eye on the work of the Master places after that statement right there? A period. A period. God elected a people to save, and He saved them, period. That's light. But do you know what darkness, being full of darkness, places after that statement? Something like this. It will say, God elected a people to save. I see it. I just read the word election. All right. Yes. God elected a people to save, and He saved them. Did Jesus Christ save His people on the cross? Oh, yes. Jesus Christ saved His people on the cross. But now they have to accept Him. Yeah, God chose and Christ saved. But you have to accept Him. Now, you know, if a person doesn't believe on Him, now here's the thing. You have to believe on Him. There's a condition there. If you don't believe on Him, and if you're not baptized, you're going to have to be baptized. Did God elect a people? Yep. Did Christ save His people? Yep. But if you're not baptized, and if you don't accept Him, and if you don't believe, then, you know, what He did doesn't matter. You're not going to be in heaven. If you don't add your darkness to His light, then that will nullify all of His light. You see the difference in the Master's work alone and trying to add our darkness to the Master's work? That other Master being ourselves. You can't serve two masters. The other one's ourself. Here's another example. I was talking with a brother who lives in another state. And he was telling me about a preacher that he was listening to who was preaching from John 10. And I want to tell you, if I could pick a few chapters in the Bible that I would say would be my favorites, John 10 is one of them. That just touches my heart. I love that chapter. You ought to read it sometime, John 10. All right, but this man, this brother, was telling me about a preacher he was listening to who was preaching from John 10 where the Lord said, "My sheep hear My voice." My sheep hear My voice. And this brother told me that this was the preacher's message. All right, this is what this particular preacher had to say about it. He said, "Yes, He is going to speak to you. But now it's your responsibility to listen." That was his message. If you don't listen, He's going to speak to you. But now if you don't listen, that's on you. If you want to be saved, then you better be listening. That's your responsibility in it. Listen, that is not so. God forbid. God forbid. That is absolute darkness. Sharing the glory and the responsibility and the work with Christ, God forbid. Let me show you an important verse of Scripture on that. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Who's going to hear His voice? The dead. The dead. What can a dead man do? What can a dead man do? Can a dead man take the responsibility of listening? It's light, not darkness. It's God, not man. Period. Now, if Christ, our Master, our light, if He did accomplish this work of delivering us from our darkness alone, how did He do that? What did Christ, our light, have to do to deliver us from all of our darkness? Go with me to Lamentations 3. And this is so amazing. Lamentations, it's after Isaiah, after Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3. All right, now these are the words of Christ. Spiritually speaking, this is pointing us to Christ. Lamentations 3, verse 1, He said, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of His wrath." He is saying, "I have suffered for my people in their place. God dealt with me because He laid their sins on me." And He said, "I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of His wrath." What did He do? Verse 2, "He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light." He said, "I was brought down into the darkness of my people." Psalm 18, verse 28 says, "Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." How did He do that? The light Himself came down into our darkness. The darkness of our sin. Being a spiritual picture, again, of the words of Christ, this is what Psalm 88, verse 6 says. He said, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps." In order to give us His light, He took our darkness upon Himself. On the cross of Calvary, it's so amazing to me that while our Lord, He was under that suffering agony, all of that weight of our sin, and while He was crying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" It says that for a span of 3 hours, darkness was over the whole earth. Our Savior came down here and He hung in and He suffered for our darkness. And that's how He delivered us. It was by condemning Himself in our darkness. And if a sinner ever sees this, he will cry. It is the light of the marvelous work of Christ. Alone. I add nothing to what He's done for me. I add nothing to that amazing work that He did. Nothing. When it comes to my salvation, I have a single eye on the finished accomplishment of my Master and my God. I have a single eye on Christ Jesus, my Lord. And to all who have been given that light, I pray the Lord has given us that light. If he has, to every believer here who has seen that light and is clinging to that light, I'm going to close with this verse of Scripture, all right? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." May God give us a single eye on that right there. A single eye. In Christ, we have been called out of our darkness into his marvelous light. To him be glory. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.